What's up, AfterBuzzers? Welcome in. It is your AfterBuzz recap for the Challenge Final Reckoning, episode 11. It was a very intense episode. Everybody hates each other, unless you are a Lavender loser, I mean Lavender lady. And we're going to get into a very thrilling Heights Challenge tonight, so stay with us as we break it all down in just a second.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh. I gotta testify.
Come up in the spot looking extra fly. A little Kanye West. For the day I die. Yeah.
I'ma touch the sky. I'ma touch the sky, baby girl. Gotta testify.
Very, very fitting for tonight's challenge.
It is Sky High Challenge tonight to wrap up the episode, but we have a lot to get through until we get to that point. Welcome in. Thank you all so much for joining us. We see that you're going at it in the live chat already. Drama-filled episode. Very crazy stuff that we're going to go over. My name is Jenna Bussier, and we got two fellas on the panel with us tonight. We are missing David and Pamela. We love you guys. Miss you. What's going on, you two?
What's up? It's the Lavender Gentleman, your boy Jay Yang, holding it down over here.
Can I be a part of that group too?
Hey, dude, you're part of it. Dude, we're founding members right here.
There it is.
Just don't call us losers, though.
That's all right. Daniel Lindgren here as well. Super excited to chat it up. Let's do this.
Yeah, Lavender Gentleman. I like gentleman. It. So episode 11, You're the Worst. And everybody made that quite apparent to each other that they all hate each other and everybody thinks everybody else on the show is the worst. So we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about first things first, picking up that challenge with Cam and Kara. At the beginning of the episode, we're going to get into Natalie and Kaylee finally hashing out in the Redemption House. So let's see what you guys have to say about that as well, as more some Kara and Lavender Lady drama, and then we're going to get into that crazy elimination. So before we do, overall thoughts, what are you thinking about just this episode as a whole?
Overall thoughts, I mean, last week I said episode 10 was the best episode. I was corrected because obviously this episode was way better than last. I'm just kidding. It was just too much drama, right? Like I said, I'm all about the challenges. I'm all about the Armageddons. I do not like the drama, but I get it. People want to watch drama. People want to see girls talking, you know, shit about each other. I thought the episode was just okay. I could have done without the drama. But other than that, I like the challenge. And yeah, that's some okay parts.
I just want to trip you there. So as a lifelong fan of the challenge, you've never once liked the drama.
I do, but I don't like it when, the season, they're, like, cutting it off with the episodes where they don't show you the Armageddon, they don't show you the elimination. Like, before, it's like, you had the drama, it was condensed, and you had the elimination. It was all done within one episode. But now they're hamming it up. They're literally trying to get it as dramatic as possible. And I get it. You need drama to make it interesting, but it's like, sometimes it's like, okay, I want to see the drama, like, not be manufactured. I just kind of want to see it, like, happen, right? I want to see the fights. I want to see, like, the fist fights. I want to see all this stuff.
So you're just saying it's too much at this point. Yeah, it's oversaturated, too much for the format. It's taking over.
But
okay.
I get it. It's evolved, right? When the challenge first started, it was very different, right? Whereas Real World versus Road Rules, it's just very different than how it is now because it's been, like, over freaking 30 seasons. So I get
32,
it.
Y'all. Exactly. To be exact, season 32. They're definitely Dan, what are you feeling overall?
They're definitely mixing up. They're definitely mixing it up. The format has changed. Some good, sometimes bad. I was a little concerned about where this episode was going tonight. I was like, it's just going to be all drama. But then it really changed around for me, which I think they had the best. The Sky Challenge was probably the best challenge I've seen so far this season. So it's really, it's a mixed bag for me tonight. But I was just a little, the drama, I am Danny Drama after all. And I usually love the drama.
Double
but tonight
D.
for me personally, I felt it was over a bunch of nothing.
Interesting.
And I know that you didn't. You thought it was over a lot of stuff. So that's going to be fun to talk about.
Yeah, I completely disagree with you. So I agree in terms of the drama has been a little oversaturated throughout this entire season. It's been a lot of what we don't really necessarily need to see, in my opinion. Little flashes here and there, but not very quality drama. But I think tonight actually was kind of vintage drama. And I'll let you know why in a little bit as we get into it. But yeah, I agree. I think that challenge may have outweighed any downside to this episode, if you had any. I think that challenge that we saw tonight, we had a really good in-depth look. We got to see each team compete for like 5 whole minutes. It wasn't just like little cuts and edited flashes of a challenge. We got to like see this challenge drawn out. So that was really nice.
Yep.
So first things first, guys, we got to get into the challenge pickup very top of this episode.
Yes.
Cam and Kara, it's like you forgot already, right?
Well, no, because Cam was just like, yep, I lost. She wasn't even mad about it. She kind of knew she deserved to lose. Like, she finished, what, was it three plates?
It's kind of sad because, like I said, like, people, like, did they not realize they're playing for $1 million? And granted, I know you're not going to go home right after the challenge. You get to the Redemption House. Yeah. But it's like, if all you had to do, and you actually had an advantage, right? You could have actually easily beaten them if you just ate a little bit more. But it just seems like she kind of like, you know, Killer Cam didn't show up to play. I'm like, okay, but it's like, is it like a switch? Do you just, is like a jacket you put on, then you become Killer Cam, and you don't? It's like, are you Killer Cam all the time?
It's a white, you know, fur coat.
Yeah.
It's
we did see that.
Wait, yeah. She didn't have her fur on when she was eating, so what could we possibly expect from her? Well, but with that, I agree. I mean, we found Cam's Achilles heel. Everybody has a weak point. She obviously doesn't like eating. I can't remember when we've had to see her eat in past challenges. But like we said, Killer Cam. She's amazing. And she is a beast. We found her downside. However, the only thing I really disliked about her performance in this challenge was the fact that she has been supportive of Kaylee, sure, but I think if Kaylee was eating as poorly as Cam would have went at her.
Yeah, Cam, definitely, that was her weakness. It is what it is. There's nothing else to say about it. How many plates did Kara eat?
I think
like one more than her? They don't actually say, but I don't think she did great either, and I'm shocked by that, so... I think both teams deserve to lose, but they can only send one down to the automatically the Redemption House. So
Kara had the strategy, though. She was prepared for this because, like she said, she has tasted Kyle, and nothing on that plate tasted worse than Kyle.
Literally,
so
I was dying.
She's trained. She is well trained for this food challenge. She has tasted some nasty stuff while her time on the challenge.
Apparently.
So it's crow's feet or whatever it was, chicken's feet, nothing compared to that pirate Kyle.
There you go.
But yeah, so we get through there. Were you guys surprised that it was Cam? Because again, now it's Killer Cam going to Redemption.
We all picked Cam last week to lose. She just didn't seem to care. It was very disappointing.
It was disappointing. And again, I go back to, I think that if it was Kaylee, I feel like is more of the fearful partner. She's a little bit scared of Cam, and she knows that Cam kind of is the leader of that partnership. So Kaylee's just like, come on, Cam. Like, can you try harder?
Yeah, she didn't get mad at her, even though, you know, inside she probably was.
I just didn't feel like there was a sense of urgency, right?
Yeah.
Like, she was just kind of taking her time, kind of like Casper in the last season of, you know, the actual, you know, challenge. She was just kind of like eating it. I'm like, you understand, like, this is a timed event, right? You're competing against someone else. This isn't like take your sweet time and eat. Like, obviously you're not eating, you know, very, you know, delicious things, but it's like, you gotta, come on, dude. This
nothing
is like,
scrumptious here.
Nothing scrumptious on a food challenge. You know, on the challenge, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I think we finally see her almost not even care. It almost looks for a second like she didn't really care about finishing. She just wanted it to be done. She should have done that fake throw thing that all the guys were doing. Shove something down your throat. Chew it up. Pretend that you're throwing. Grab the bucket next to you, but you're really just kind of spitting it out, and then you're not even swallowing
the
food.
And the weird thing is that she knows she has to go to the Redemption House if she loses. She knows she doesn't get along with Natalie and Polly, and if that they pull the double cross, they're not going to choose them. The thing about the Redemption House is you have to be friends with everybody in there to even have a chance, because it's all that luck thing. And I wish, like you said, Justin, that it was like the competitive thing again, but it's not going to be clearly this season. So why would Cam not try a little harder? Why does she want to go to that Redemption House with her enemies? It's not a good look.
That is such a good point, because not only is it you have to be friends with people in the Redemption House, people are relying too much on there even being a Redemption House.
Yeah.
There is, like we saw last time, a 1 in 6 chance of you getting back in because it's literally picking out of a hat.
Yeah.
You're picking up a double cross. So the chances of you getting back in, how can you possibly rely on the fact that you're going to Redemption to come back in this game? Because you have to be lucky enough to even make an elimination. It's not, oh, I have another chance to fight my way out of the house and I can solely rely on my politics and my game sense and my athleticism. You have to even get into that elimination, and that's not only luck, that's having friends and alliances and pulling that cross. There's so many things to rely on.
Mm-hmm.
So Cam and Kaylee on their way to Redemption.
Ooh.
And this is kind of perfect. I mean, if Kara and Marie went, maybe we would have saw like Kara and Polly hook up and the love triangle between Kara and Natalie and Polly, and it'd be kind of cool and fun. No, Cam and Kaylee going is so much better because we get this Natalie and Kaylee drama that's finally going to erupt after this whole season of waiting around for it. And it's so them coming back to the house that was interesting because Natalie comes down. She goes, oh my God, it's you guys. Nothing happens. Like, no altercation happens, no confrontation yet. But I don't know what all this huge friendship is with Polly, that Cam apparently loves Polly. This is news to me.
They were all like embracing arms, and I was like, you understand, like, your partner hates your partner, right? I was like, they were kind of like hugging and stuff, and I was like, it's kind of weird that like Natalie was upstairs and kind of like, you know, crying and whimpering, and I don't know. I mean, it was kind of a weird dynamic. And then, you know, when they try to have the whole like reconciliation, I'm like, and like Polly's like kind of joking, like, oh, I'm going to eat popcorn. I'm like, you understand, like, your partner and then the other girl hate each other, and you're kind of just sitting there kind of laughing it off. I'm just like, give them their space.
Well, you know, and I hate to ever like Polly, but like this episode made me start to like him. And I'll tell you why. I really think that he was looking out for Natalie. He was actually trying to just get them to get along and you know, crush it. Both those girls are in the fault for way different reasons, but they're both at fault. So Polly's there just trying to, like, in a way, he's trying to make light of the situation because it was some very serious stuff. That bullying is no joke.
Yeah.
And calling people out on their sexual orientation is no joke, too. So Polly is kind of just trying to make light of this thing. Like, look, girls, you both made mistakes. Let's get over this. Plus, Polly knows if the other team pulls a double cross, wouldn't it be nice to be friends with them? Just saying.
No, I think Polly really held it down tonight because Natalie is the type of person that I think she just needs a little bit of a help. She needs a little bit of a push. She doesn't want to feel like it's her up against the wall in the corner, which is what she's feeling like now.
She is feeling that way.
Two bold personalities coming in. As we saw, as much as she was a part of the bullying situation, she wasn't doing it herself because I just don't think she has that confrontational part of her. Like, she needs that support. She needs like a little bit of a push. And Polly was being a good friend by saying, Natalie, here's what you need to do. If I have to set this up, I'll set it up. He was secretary.
He was
moderator. Yeah. He's like, all right, I'll go to Kaylee. I'll have you guys get this couch alone. But like, you need to put on your big girl pants and do it. And that's all she needed. She just needed a push. She needed to know that somebody was there for her.
And it looked like it looked like they were going to forgive each other for a second, right?
It was good in theory. And I'm like, I'm watching it. I'm like, no, stop. Like, stop talking. Like, no, stop. You guys are ruining it. And then it got, because like, I mean, did anyone else in the chat let us know, did you guys think that they were actually going to reconcile and be friends? Or did you think that, you know, doesn't matter, they're always going
to
hate each
other? To me, it looked like it was going to get squashed. Yeah. And then I don't know what was the one liner that got it back to being very aggressive was what? I don't remember. It was so fast.
In the chat, if you guys know, let us know. But I think a lot of it is they're just trying to have the last word. It's like, you guys have already said.
I agree, yeah.
Right? They're trying to have the last, like, they apologize, both of them individually apologize. But do you know that you shouldn't have done that? It's like, okay, just enough. It's like, we get it, but like, you try to.
But they both want to say that line, though.
They both
want to
say that line.
So then let's break it down exactly what was going on here. We know that these two obviously have like probably ultimate beef in this house. I can't think of who really has that worse of a grudge against each other at this point, because I think what Kaylee did to Natalie was absolutely horrendous. Like, okay, so let's break it down. Kaylee is mad at Natalie because Natalie was a part of the girl group that was bullying up on Kaylee last season and threw her personal items over a balcony. Kaylee felt so strongly about this and so upset and depressed by this that she left and she went home.
Correct.
However, Natalie wasn't necessarily in this group of girls doing it. So as much, and I understand Kaylee's point, because Kaylee is saying, maybe you didn't do it, but you were with them. You were just as much a part of it as being a bystander, but also like being friends with these girls and being in this group. But I still think Kaylee is more in the wrong in this situation, because then Kaylee, then after leaving the house, took to social media to out somebody that Natalie did not even tell Kaylee her sexuality and confidence. Natalie hit the nail on the head. She said, I never told you this. You did not have 100% confirmed information that I was a lesbian or what my sexuality was, but you took it upon yourself to hear these rumors, take that as fact, and let the entire world know. That's my personal business. Like, you took it there.
Do two wrongs make a right? In this, I mean,
but that's what Kaylee was making, one wrong already, another wrong. And it's also like, if you left the house, I get that that's your struggle. If that's what you feel like you need to do for yourself, this is a game. This is a reality TV show. If you need to leave the house for your mental health, leave the house. However, then don't become Twitter fingers on social media and then make it a double wrong by outing somebody. If you weren't going to do something there in person, as the dust settles, now you're going to make it in a bigger eruption. And when you're not there.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a tough call. It's a tough call because in theory, I know Natalie wasn't the one that threw over the clothes, and I don't even know if Kaylee saw who actually. I mean, if she did, if Kaylee saw that, what was it? The other Kaylee or Kayla?
Kayla.
If Kayla, if Kayla, I know. If I feel like it was Kayla and Jemmy who threw the clothes over, and Natalie was there and she was laughing, which is totally not a good look.
Yeah.
But you need some personal responsibility because I think a lot of it is even though you weren't the ones responsible, you didn't say anything to stop it.
She was, and that's the thing about Natalie's personality. She's almost like too afraid to be hey, look, I understand you don't like this girl, but throwing all her belongings all over the house, that's awful.
That's the thing. You got to think about how it originally all started with the whole thing with Johnny Bananas. So it's like you're talking about, you know, just to play devil's advocate, Natalie's insecure. It's like, you know, I was a little insecure. You know,
you were a good looking girl. You're a good looking girl.
It was a guy that I liked, but. From Kaylee, it's like she's not a mind reader. Like, I didn't know that you liked Johnny, and if you would have just came up and talked to me about it as opposed to siding with it. So a lot of it is just a lot of miscommunication, and a lot of it is just – I mean, you guys saw basically how it ended. Like, I don't think they're going to be –
Well, the only reason I feel so strongly about this is because Kaylee was really starting to piss me off because Natalie is the one who has her sexuality outed, and she's, in my opinion, being way more apologetic to Kaylee than Kaylee is to Natalie, because after that happened, Kaylee said something just like – okay.
And like I shouldn't have called you out, right?
Natalie just poured her heart out, like, crying. You shouldn't have said that about me. This is my sexuality. This is my personal business. And Kaylee just goes, okay. Well, sorry. I'm like, wow, Kaylee?
You know what?
That's messed up.
It's like politics. No one's ever going to agree. They're both on different sides of it. It's gonna be tough to get them to come together.
And it made me more angry further than when Kaylee said, and I do it again. Like, okay.
Yeah. I think those are just your emotions, like, you know, trying to get the best of you in that sense. But, I mean, I'm going to be kind of curious to see what happens between them. Because they have to live together in the Redemption House, you know, and their partners are kind of tied to them.
I'm just happy, though. I hope Natalie takes this as a lesson. I know that it didn't end at a reconciliation. However, it doesn't always have to. Like, just saying what you have to say to get off your chest doesn't mean you have to be friends at the end of the day. And it didn't have a resolution, but, like, that's okay. Because they hashed it out, and now they're yelling at each other. At least it's not living in fear, from Natalie's perspective.
They both know each other's feelings.
At least it's out there, right? At least they know. I feel like that's kind of why Marie and Kara's partnership is working. Because they at least... there's nothing left hidden between those two. They've talked as much crap about each other as they can behind their backs and to each other's faces. It's almost like a sister relationship at this point, where it's like, you've already said the meanest things you can say to me, so now I actually know that you have my back, because you're not fake and you're not...
Well, that's the next big drama that happened on the episode was drunk Ashley, drunk Kara, talking it at Bojangles, apparently is the name of the place they go.
Bojangles. Let's get into this explosion. Yes. Kara versus Lav Ladies, but first...
Oh, yes. Oh, God. Yeah. All right.
Danny on the mic. Woo!
Hey, I got a live read for you guys. Hey, AfterBuzzers. AfterBuzz TV does after shows for all your favorite shows, sci-fi, drama, The Challenge, like this. But we need your help. Subscribe to one or more of our channels. We really appreciate it. If you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be. Don't worry about these bothersome notifications.
Ugh.
Because you don't... Annoying notifications.
They're annoying.
Optional, guys. Optional. They're optional. Just like a bathing suit at a nude beach, it's optional. Back to the show. Thanks for listening. Back
just
to
like the any show. Clothes in the Challenge House.
Hello. Yes.
Just like getting along with people. Woo, that segue.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
It's true.
So, first off, we know exactly what happens and how this happens because they go out on the town and they go drinking and everybody gets that drunk courage that they always get. And Kara approaches Ashley and this is how this unfolds. And Kara's saying, girl, code, you upset me because I thought we were friends. We were hanging out. I got your back. And then you go and hook up with somebody who I'm emotionally attached to. And all I'm getting from this is just slurring and swaying. And Ashley's like, why? it's just... such drunk talk.
Here's the annoying thing about girl code, right? And this happens a lot, and we've seen it with Brad.
Oh, please enlighten me, Justin, on girl code. Enlighten me.
Yes, Brad, Angelina, and Jen. Okay, so here's the thing. Cara Maria, you know, rightfully so, she's angry at Ashley. But why is she not talking to Kyle about this, right? Like, I feel like you need a responsibility as a guy for a woman to actually call you out on your stuff. Like, with Brad and Angelina, everyone was spitting venom on Angelina. Oh, my God, how could you do that? It's girl code to Jen. But was anyone actually saying anything
about Oh, my
about
God, wait, we're Brad? Talking about Brad Pitt and Jen. Yeah, I'm Brad like, Pitt. Who's
in case you guys... I thought he was talking about Brad from the show.
I apologize.
Wait, Brad and Angelina,
for all of you watching.
First and last last name, Justin.
No, yes. I agree with you. Absolutely. The man is responsible here. However, you can still feel hurt by somebody who you thought was your friend who's a girl. There absolutely is a girl code when it comes to that. And I think that Kara's just given up on Kyle at this point. She, like, she doesn't have but to she, go at him. He up, knows just, everything. Everybody yeah. knows how much she hates him at this point, how she feels about him. And so she feels upset by now being betrayed by a girl in the house. However, you have to kind of give it to Ashley because Ashley said, I asked you.
Well, I got a question, though. What is Kara hoping to get out of talking to Ashley?
Her
closure?
Her feelings hurt.
Her feelings out?
Heard. Yeah. Sorry.
Heard.
Heard. Her feelings released off her chest. Sometimes when something's bothering you, you just got to let it out.
So this is like a case of sober thoughts become drunk words.
And it's also, I'm going to be living in a house with you. She knows Ashley is a good competitor. So this is maybe a way to just say, this is how I feel, instead of doing a Natalie and living in fear. Because what does that do? Just build, build, build.
I just feel like it was almost like Kara wanted a little more FaceTime.
Yeah.
Well,
that's just me personally. Just that's how I feel about that one particular situation with Kara.
I agree. I felt like it was just pointless. Like, I felt like it was pointless. Like, okay, Ashley's there. I'm sorry. Okay, we're cool now. Thank you. Bye-bye.
But were they cool, though? Because somebody might agree with you, Amanda. Amanda's overhearing this, staring on like a devil, and she brings this back to the house.
Yeah.
So she is talking in privacy in her room, and this is funny because at the full circle, at the end of the fight, she says, well, Kara came at me. I'm like, well, Ashley. Or sorry, Amanda, you're talking so much crap, basically on a megaphone. You are inviting this. If this was you and you overheard somebody talking about you in the other room, you're trying to tell me you wouldn't go in there, exactly. Guns blazing. You right. know you would, especially you, Amanda.
But this brings me back to everyone is at fault in a different way. You got poor woman's Lindsay Lohan, Amanda, coming at Kara when Kara was talking to Ashley. So you wanted the Lavender Ladies. All the Lavender Ladies get in there. And here's the thing about the Lavender Ladies is they're strong because only of one point.
Numbers.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah,
right.
Numbers.
Kara's a better competitor than pretty much every Lavender.
Of course.
They're all of them. Yeah.
Of course. That's the point.
They're
intimidating. I feel like the Lavender Ladies is like a poor woman's version of Mean Girls. Right? Oh, like, okay. They're trying to be like the Mean Girls clique, but it's just like...
You got one too, you want to say?
Yeah, you got one
poor
too.
Poor woman's what?
I was about to say poor man's, and I was like, no, poor woman.
No, we're going to poor woman.
I'm trying to think of one.
Yeah. I
feel like Kyle is a poor man's Johnny Depp.
Whoa! That's fun, because Johnny Depp...
Poor woman's. Poor woman's Johnny Depp.
Well, it'll be poor man's in his case, technically. But yeah, you're right. There you go.
Anyway, okay, you guys don't like this fight because you feel like this is nothing. However,
oh, yeah, tell me, yeah,
yes. tell us your feelings.
I'm enjoying this fight because I feel like it is sort of vintage challenge drama here, because not every fight has to have some insane reason. Sometimes people can just go at each other's throat because they're alcohol induced and they're in this incubator of a home, and we just get to watch it, and it's amazing. This felt vintage. This felt like Kara, Wes, Johnny, Laurel back in the day when Johnny threw a soda bottle at Kara's head.
What were like the good one-liners and stuff? There was like, someone was brought up about Kara's having a horse. Like,
horse dies.
Well, like,
that's awful. It's not even good.
So again, you're saying this drama means nothing. However, I think by Kara going into this room, Kara is finally doing what we've always wanted Kara to do. Kara walks the walk in eliminations and challenges, but she doesn't really... I don't think she gets into that many blow-up fights that often. And then that's when it was confusing when Kyle goes, I have to calm Kara down because nothing calms that beast down when she gets angry. I'm like, Kara very rarely is in a situation where she is fighting people. She's not the Camilla in the house. She's not ever going balls to the wall against people. So for her to go in there and finally say, like, here I am. You guys always talk about me. You always make fun of me. Guess what? I'm here to defend myself. And I also don't care what you're saying because I beat all of you. And your insults are that I own a horses. You loser.
It's very middle school, right? It's very middle school. And I feel like what they're doing is they're trying to get an edge because of the fact that they know that she's such a strong competitor. They're trying to break her down mentally. And if you look at the entire season, mentally, she hasn't really been there. She's been distracted. She's with Kyle and all this other stuff with Marie. So I feel like it's just a mean girls thing. And I think they should just stop. Just stop being mean girls. Focus on the game.
Well, I also like it too because Kara goes in, it explodes for a minute, but then Kara goes back to her little bench and she's just hanging out. And that's it. She said her piece, it's done. But Amanda, keeps going, won't stop. And then Zach is finally like, Amanda, shut your mouth.
I mean, I think the guys were realizing that it was over a lot of stuff that really doesn't matter in the long run here. Yep. And it's hurting your chance. I mean, Zach's partners with Amanda. Dude.
it's hurting your chances in the game because you're basically linked up to a sinking ship and everybody sees like how neurotic your partner is. So whether it's Smashley, whether it's Amanda, it's like
people, Hunter's definitely concerned.
People are noticing this.
You have Ashley and Amanda going like fighting so hard and then they were just awful. In the challenge.
They were awful.
Yeah, awful.
Awful.
Karma, not only awful, but we'll get into exactly what they did.
Let's get in. I'm ready. Oh,
but
there's more. I'm sorry.
Little bit more. Honorable mention, like you said to Polly, the partners of people getting themselves into chaos this week are the MVPs because Marie comes in and after everything, Marie has Kara's back. And Marie saying to her friends, the Lav ladies, I know her now. Give her a chance. And also, that's where I kind of go back to them being in the sister relationship that there's nothing Marie can even say about Kara anymore. Like, Kara knows everything Marie feels about her. So now it's almost an utmost amount of trust where if Marie is now defending you, you know that that's like now your sister. Like, now you don't hate each other because you've hashed your true feelings, but now you got her.
If you looked at this episode, you look at so many dysfunctional partners who don't trust each other. But I really, really, Marie's starting to grow on me. You know, I never really liked her in previous seasons or eating challenges, but this season the fact that she has her partners back, and yeah, she was kind of part of the Lavender Ladies and not really sometimes where she, you know, has talked crap about Kara, but I like the fact that she has her backs, she has her partners back, because in this challenge it's like the only person you can trust is your partner.
And Marie was, it was interesting what Marie said. She was like, yeah, the Lavender Ladies are crazy, like I know this because you know why, I'm friends with them. Like, so it was nice just to, the realization, okay, it's not me just thinking that I'm the, am I the only one who thinks they're crazy? No. An actual Lavender Lady knows that they're all crazy. So it's okay.
She's finding like something, the slightest bit rational in a group of entirely irrational people. Mm. Which is great to see that. Shout out Marie. So we're going to move on to this challenge, Skybridge. And I feel like listening to da, 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 da. Again, this challenge was good.
It was very good.
Man.
It was very, very scary. And looking at Shane puke, I'm like, I'm pretty sure a lot of people kind of had the same sentiment like going up there because it looked really, really high.
Terrifying.
So 1,000 feet up.
Yes, exactly. Let's break it down. 1,000 feet up. They're on essentially a hollowed out bridge. So TJ was saying repair a bridge. I'm like, you get 3 pieces of rope, you're basically building a bridge with rope strength,
right?
Making your way across something 1,000 feet up. And for the most part, besides Shane, feel really bad for Shane, he's anxiety, he's shaking, he's throwing up. How are people so calm during this?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it was internal for some of the girls, because a lot of the girls didn't move when they got up there. There's just so much to talk about. Like, okay, so you had the great background music going the whole time. Did you? It was epic music. If you really listen, I was like, man, this is great music. The first team to go is Brad and Kyle. And Brad is like really helping Kyle through this, showing him how he's, I'm going to teach you how to tie knots today. I just love the teamwork aspect of the challenge. Yeah. And when they're, and here's the thing. So then they had Shane and Nelson go. Not to stand up for Shane too much, but Shane wasn't really yelling at Nelson. Nelson, don't yell at me. I'm like, Shane's kind of like just trying to help you out, bro. Like,
for a guy who was so afraid of heights, he did very, very well.
He was helping Nelson along, being so. It was crazy.
No, yeah, the Shane glow up for this episode was amazing. He went from throwing up the second before he got on that podium, and then was just completely poker face in game mode. So that was, and I thought that that was incredible, that turnaround.
Yeah.
But that goes back to like Bananas and Tony and Brad and Kyle being so calm during this. Like, it's crazy that they're 1,000 feet up. Not only 1,000 feet up, you're always looking down. You have to look down to be able to tie that rope. It's not just a factor where if maybe you're walking in balance beam, you kind of look ahead and you're saying, don't look down, don't look down. Your entire game is looking down during this challenge.
And props to Bananas and Tony. They were awesome in that challenge. And that's saying a lot, because they were saying how Nelson and Shane almost beat him.
Yep.
Because they did.
They almost did.
You know what was a big factor is, I think, the weight distribution in this thing. Because you had Zach and Amanda, and it's you had a heavy guy on one side weighing down that rope, and then she's got to tie it on the other side, and she was tying it too loose for a heavier... Dude, she weighs absolutely nothing.
There were so many quitters in this episode, which I didn't like. I mean, I was kind of like TJ in the sense, I was like, why are you quitting? At least try. Right? A lot of girls, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to give up. I'm like, you have to try. Even Jose and Devon, like at the very last second, they got one rope, right? You can at least do one. It's like, don't quit.
They did really well. They know what it's like to be to hell and back, literally, Redemption House and back over and over. They're over it. They finally fought their way back into the game. I think that they're really trying to prove something. But yeah, going through it, when the first people that we see kind of quit, they don't jump off, but Kara, Maria, and Marie, this was pretty interesting. I don't understand what happened here. Kara just decides to kind of lay out and that she's not even going to go for it.
It's kind of like the cam thing, right? Like, and they're just like, nope, I can't do this. Like, wait, what? Hold on, Kara. Come on, try a little bit. Dan's conspiracy corner here.
Yes.
TJ, I mean, TJ has called out people in the past, right? But in this episode alone, he called out like every group that wasn't trying.
Sucked.
But here's the thing though. Do you think producers are getting in his ear like, guys, we need them to be good at this challenge? Like, people want to watch them do well, not just sit, at least try. And we want people to at least try. And then TJ even brings up, yeah, we had two girls that were shorter than you guys to test it out and they finished it.
I love that he did that.
Yep.
This is, I mean, I think TJ needs to keep doing this, keep pushing them to be better. Because as a viewer, don't we want to see them, like, at least, what if a lot of them got four and then only one got five? Like, they were all in the mix.
Yeah.
Three or four of the teams got zero.
Here's Justin's conspiracy corner for this week.
Oh, God, now I have to come up with another one for you guys.
Not really a conspiracy, but a theory is if you notice that every single person who was dramatic or in a form of drama, Ashley, Amanda,
Carl, that's what I was saying.
They did not do well, right? So maybe all that energy spent yelling and screaming and hurling insults, it ruined their game. It ruined their game the next day.
No, thanks for bringing that up too, because I actually had a similar thought, not about all their energy being used. I'm thinking, do they all just feel so confident with their alliance being the biggest one in the house that they think that they have ultimate power that they can just choose when to underperform?
I hope not, because that sucks to think about. But yeah, maybe. We'll never know because they're never going to admit that.
For Amanda to jump off and not care at all.
Yeah.
After she and Zach have been such a good partnership, they have such a good opportunity to have a high stake in this game, the two of them being partnered together. Ashley, who I thought had all the heart in the world, right? Nah. Because she always gives it her all. She might be crazy. She might explode, go off the deep end, but she always gives it her all. Just doesn't care.
She blamed it. She had a couple of excuses that were pretty far-fetched. She said that Hunter didn't come up with a game plan. Now, that's fair enough. But then when she's up there, she can't even, like, get to tie the knot. I don't know how to tie a knot. Well, why don't you try first?
Yeah.
She didn't even try to tie the knot. And Hunter's just like, hey, can I jump back and forth and do both? And I feel like if he was given the go, he would have tried to do that. I love Hunter. I think he's great.
I do love Hunter, and I felt bad for him. However, until at the end, in Ashley's defense, where she's saying, you know, you can't work with somebody who won't even speak to you. This is your partnership, and we can't even come up with a plan together. I don't want to work with him. However, don't forget about that $1 million. Yeah. Like, let's not forget the bigger picture here. Just try.
Exactly.
You can hate each other off the playing course, but maybe just, like, try to communicate during it. But maybe that was all on Hunter. Maybe Hunter really was not even trying to help Ashley at all, not trying to give her any direction during the actual challenge. So she said, screw this.
To play devil's advocate, maybe you got to think about, why is Hunter not talking to you? Maybe he doesn't have that trust in a partner. And if I can't trust you outside of the game, how can I trust you in the game? Right? So maybe he felt hurt.
Embrace debate, y'all. So many layers going on here. So this Amanda, the Amanda and Zach thing as well, though, their banter when they're up 1,000 feet is pretty hysterical. You remember exactly what it was, Dan?
Well, he said, you know, pretend it's like Joss's limp member, and she said it's never like that. So good Joss.
Good to know.
You go, Joss.
It's very good to know.
It's great. Fantastic.
But also, like, the way Zach and Amanda fight is... Okay, come on, babe. I'm going to need you to do more. Chill, bro.
Yeah, that was funny, too. Yeah, he called her babe, which was interesting. And then she's like, chill, bro.
They kind of have like a very like brother-sister love-hate relationship. So even after when they, you know, got disqualified, like they're just kind of like right next to each other. They're like, you know, kind of shooting the shit and kind of talking to each other. Like there's no animosity. Right. But you saw like Hunter and Ashley, like there was animosity. Like, they didn't want to talk. Like, I don't want to talk to you right now. So.
Yeah, so sadly, like really a great challenge, but very disappointing from a lot of teams, the fact that they just quit. Like especially Kara. Kara, now that you just talked this whole big game as well, you're going to let me down. You're going to let all of your female fans down.
This was her redemption challenge. Like imagine if she would have won. She could have stuck it to all of her haters, everyone, but she's just kind of like...
She didn't do anything. And let me call out one more person.
Wet mop.
Let me call out one more person. Joss. What was it? Sylvia was doing great. Sylvia even says, like, oh, we got this. We're going. She's scooting along. She's fine. Joss can't hold. He's like the man with all the muscles. He can't hold up his body weight. He just fell off.
It's crazy.
Here's like Jenna's conspiracy corner.
I know. I like you said this during the when we watched.
Did
go
I
ahead.
Say this?
You said it. Go ahead. I know what
I
you
don't remember
said.
What I said when we watched it. I don't go think ahead. I mentioned this, but Jenna's conspiracy corner, since we got to go in threes tonight, is Joss is just playing for Amanda, apparently. And if baby falls, I fall too.
Oh, that's not what
this
I thought
This was
you were
like
saying.
A Romeo and Juliet thing. She committed suicide first.
That's fun.
And Romeo was right behind her. It was like, oh, my baby fell. Oh, sorry, Sylvia. I totally slipped. He didn't slip. Well, he had actually, that.
I don't think he slipped either. That's what I thought you were going to say is he didn't slip. Yeah. He just like, he's like, I can't hold on anymore. But he's in his head and he just let go.
He just wanted to hold hands with Amanda.
Did you guys see the part where she was like, yeah, my boyfriend. So,
yeah.
Which was kind of interesting. And I'm like, I mean, Sylvia and Joss, they've kind of been the sleeper team all season. They've actually performed really, really well. And they've kind of stayed off the radar.
I'm telling you, they could be really good.
Yeah,
they
could be really
good. It's funny to say that Joss is a sleeper team. I think it's just that they're not getting airtime because they're not controversial, you know, and we're not really. And again, I think now that the teams are getting to smaller amounts of teams competing, we're seeing more of them during the actual challenges. That's what I liked about tonight's challenge was like, wow, we actually get to see the strategy. We're seeing each of them go and take their turn.
It was the best challenge. The Sky Bridge challenge is the best one we've seen so far.
Absolutely.
Only 8 teams left and 2 in the Redemption House.
Ooh.
However, we do know, we've seen in previews that Devin and Corey come in at some point. So there you go.
I'm excited for that. So wrapping up this challenge, we do see Bananas. Sorry, that was really weird pronunciation. Bananas.
They win.
And Tony, they win in almost like the most unfair way. They're just too good at this. We know Bananas is good. Tony, I guess, is now a certified veteran now. But
this is their first win of the season, right?
Sure, but I mean, we know Bananas is an amazing. This is what Bananas does. He kills it.
This
at
type
daily
of challenge
challenges.
Was made for Bananas, I think. And Tony is a great wingman for him. Like they said, they're both Batman. So
it was just like almost unfair. We thought Brad and Kyle did well. We thought some teams
they got,
are
so Brad
along.
And Kyle got 3 out of 5.
Yeah,
but they also had a start. So not that Brad and or not that Tony and Bananas could have watched too much of what they did, but they could have got some ideas on how they.
It's always a disadvantage
to go first. Yeah. Exactly. So Brad had to go first. So. The fact that they got 3 out of 5, I thought was great.
So Bananas and Tony win. They get double power.
Mm-hmm.
So many different options for them of who to throw in because they're a rogue team. Let's get a little predictions, can we?
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, yes, we can.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Who are they throwing in?
I think they're going to go, I want to say they go a power team. Yep. Like, they go against someone that they shouldn't. Like, they might be friends with, but...
Here's the thing. It depends on who makes the deciding vote, right? If it's Johnny, I know that Johnny is very loyal. He's not going to throw in a power team. But if it's Tony, we've seen Tony's, you know, I mean, he's the tourist for making these moves. And if you can get out Zach or Amanda or, you know, Brad or Kyle, that's a huge
move. The safe choice is for them just to go Nelson and Shane and be done with it, right?
I was going to say that's a safe choice. Yeah. But Tony loves Zach. Zach and Tony are BFFs.
They said they purposely said it in this episode. So maybe that's what they do, right?
Dance conspiracy foreshadowing corner.
So many, right?
However, I think that they're going to maybe hang each other around just a little bit longer. Because, again, everybody's playing kind of more of a scared game.
So who do you like?
So I don't think Tony's going to throw in Zach right away. I do think Shane and Nelson might be the easiest. But, however, I don't know if Shane and Nelson is a scared game. Because I actually think Nelson's a good competitor. And Shane, you saw him get up there.
I don't think it's a scared game. I just think that they have so much beef with them. Why not throw him in? Because you're not going to ruffle too many feathers. People can be like, I understand why you did that.
So it's easy, not scared.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Oh, you don't want to go with them, though. You want to go with someone else.
Maybe Joss Sylvia, just because it's Joss.
I don't see it, but hey, I mean, this challenge, like we said, has so many random turns, twists and turns, so it could be anybody, really.
In the chat, Maurice Charles says Nelson and Shane. Max727 says Nelson and Shane or Amanda and Zach.
I think it could very possibly be Hunter and Ashley. It just dawned on me, why the hell wouldn't it be? Because Ashley is explosive. She's crazy
like
in the house. Nobody is feeling Ashley, unless you're a lav lady. And Hunter is now the newest threat to the game. Sure, there's Zach, there's Brad, and there's Bananas, like the three-headed horseman. But now Hunter coming in throws the whole game for a loop because he is so good. And he's a very fierce competitor. So why not take him out because he's good and get rid of one of the lav ladies? Because it was like Ashley was the final piece of the puzzle. She showed up to the house and it was like, lav lady.
Let me ask you this. If whoever Bananas and Tony throw in, do you think they're going to go up against Devin and...
Got to, right?
And Corey. Yeah. Wouldn't that be? Because we don't know when they come back yet. We don't know when they come in to be the mercenaries. So,
or the Redemption House person goes against the mercenaries again.
Oh, is that how it was? Yeah.
We're just gonna have to see and find out.
Well, it's all predictions.
Anything else? What else did we see during that teaser? Did we see anything?
I still want to know who gets flipped.
Yeah, we still want to know who gets flipped.
So, well, here's interesting. Elizabeth Jimenez says, I hope any of the Lav ladies. So,
yeah. You guys let us know in the live chat if you're watching us later on. How are you feeling about the Lav ladies? Because they are dominating the house.
Yeah.
And they could be entertaining. It's kind of like, okay, the young rookies are not young rookies, but the younger era of sure. the new wave.
The new wave
is
recruits.
Coming up, and maybe some people like to see Bananas now squirm and not have ultimate power, even though this week he gets the power vote. Or it's they're annoying. They don't know how to run the house. Let's just break this up finally. So let us know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a little bit of news and gossip this week, I did see, again, thank you to Ashley Quesada on Twitter. My girl hitting me up all the time with the news. So it looks like Kaylee is going to be back on X on the Beach in the UK.
Whoa.
But with her, who do you think's coming from the challenge? Who do you think's going to join her?
Johnny Bananas?
Ooh, good guess. Because someone looks like they're filming season 10, I think it is, of X on the Beach UK with Kaylee.
Was he right?
Oh no, yeah. He wasn't. Well, what do you think, yeah. Dan's conspiracy corner?
Why does that have to be a conspiracy? Yeah.
I don't think Johnny Bananas. He's doing anything besides the challenge.
Kaylee, I mean, Kaylee's only guy here was
Nelson.
Yeah.
Yay.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Nelson. How do you guys feel about this?
Do they even really have a relationship? Like, I don't even know how. They did kiss on the lips tonight when she left or whatever. So there's that. But I just feel like Nelson's so much more into her than she is into him. But that's maybe just the way she comes off. Like when she was fighting with Natalie tonight, again, she had that like blah face. So maybe that's just her thing. I don't know.
When the cameras are off, you know, it's a little
bit
more.
I kind of feel like good for Nelson. He booked another show. Good job, Nelson.
Yeah.
You're keep working. Keep going at it.
Keep on getting paid.
I got a little news, but it's not really news, but it's kind of news. How about that? Does that sound
I
good?
Love it.
Sounds
I love
so
kind
strong
of
with
keep
my
it
opinion here. You can go on YouTube and watch the cast members read mean tweets that are written about themselves. And I just think that's very interesting because all the drama that they do to each other, and then they have people talking smack about them. You think like, hey, like why social media? Just to me, I can't stand. I will never talk smack about anyone on social media. If someone writes something bad about me, I will never respond to it. But that's me. And I just think it's so interesting. If they get so mad at random people calling them out. So then why are you talking smack to people, like to your fellow cast members?
That's
true. You guys are all going through the same thing. You're on the same team in a way here.
Yeah.
So why can't we just be kind?
It's like you're not learning. You see how hurt you get by people
that's
coming at you.
That's my thing. Yeah.
Why are you not learning to not do the same?
To your fellow cast members.
Because words hurt, especially typed words when you're behind a computer screen.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But honestly, I think when they're going at each other, in their minds, they think that this is nothing that I wouldn't say if you were in front of me.
Right.
But you just
and
happen
to not
their, be
And they're
in
promoting
front of
themselves.
Me.
They're keeping themselves around the internet. For
and this is
to
their
do.
Life. This is their career. So their career is them being themselves. So you take it a little bit more personally. Like, this is their everything to them, which kind of sucks. Like, we can deal with bad comments because we do things outside of the studio sometimes when we're not here. But I think them, like, them being themselves is their entire character in their life and their job in a sense. So getting hate on that is even just more of a reason to be upset and a little bit more harsh.
Right.
Anyway, we are ending on that note, on such a light note.
Oh, yes.
But actually, there's a silver lining. Don't be a keyboard warrior.
Exactly.
And don't go too crazy on people on the internet, y'all. You don't know what you're doing to people.
Exactly. Yep. Especially us. We're very, very sensitive. I read all those comments and I cry myself to sleep every night.
They're, wow.
As you can tell.
They're very
just kidding.
Honest.
Keep them coming. Keep them coming. I love reading them. I love reading everything you guys say.
Well, that's a threat, I guess. Yeah. Take that as the challenge. Anyway, this has been our show here on AfterBuzz TV. Thank you so much for joining us. Very excited to see your thoughts on tonight's episode. Make sure you're letting us know exactly what you feel. And my name is Jenna Bussier. Keep tweeting me that news and gossip at Jenna_Bussier.
What's up? It's your boy Jay Yang at your boy Jay Yang.
The Dan Lindgren. Hit me up. See you guys. Have a great night.
Thank you guys. Miss you, Pam and Dave.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz.
See you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.